Good morning, everybody. We are going to look today at our children's inheritance. You know, what's that? I wonder what Bobby's going to do with that bucket of change by the bed. You know, you're laughing. You know, little Knox back there is not laughing. If it doesn't quit raining, you're not going to have nothing to give him. But anyway, want to look at our children's inheritance. You know, what is it that we pass on to our children, our grandchildren? Brother Ken read, you know, from Proverbs today. We have a number of scriptures from Proverbs that we're going to look at. Just a repeat of what Ken read us earlier. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, so to the grandkids even. But the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. You know, I guess I just want to ask the question: what is it that we're passing on? You know, what is it? And it's not just our biological children, and not really an official adopted child. But there's a lot of times we take people under our wing and kind of mentor people. And we have relationships with people, kind of stepmoms and step grandparents and stuff like this that we kind of look to. And what is it that we're passing on? I like to think that we pass on as Christians more than just economics. Because I tell you, the economics, that'll be gone through. You know, money will be spent, you know, probably pretty quickly. But what is it that we give? And I look at some of these people in the New Testament. I think of Peter and how in 1 Peter 5, he refers to Mark as his son. There was no blood between them, but they must have worked so close together in the ministry that he's referring to him as my son. And I always think of Paul. Paul and Timothy especially. How in 1 Timothy 1:2, he refers to Timothy as my true son in the faith. And then he says it again in 2 Timothy, calls him my beloved son. And then to Titus, a true son in our common faith. You know that when Peter was crucified, you know, when Paul was martyred, they probably didn't have any material possessions to pass on to these people, but you know what a legacy they handed down. And that's what I want us to look at today. You know, what is that inheritance that we give? You know, How to live, how to conduct ourselves. We teach our children and those that we have close relations with. We teach them how to conduct themselves in any and all circumstances. They look to us. We look to them. How do you behave in this situation? How do you conduct your life? The different values and the priorities. My dad never missed a ball game of mine. Never missed one. Never. He was right there. Is it more important to be at every softball game or to take our children on outings and to go to the grand opening of something? Or is it more important to teach them the priority of being at attendance, at worship, of teaching them the scriptures, of teaching them the important things according to God's word? And we learn relationships from and we want to pass on that to others. Parents, fathers, teach your son how to be a good husband. Teach your son how to behave as a husband. Teach your daughter what to look for in a husband. And vice versa with moms. You know, what to look for. And again, it applies to whether it's blood related or just close relationships. In Proverbs 15:6, it says, "In the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. Let's give our children much treasure in our households, that they can look back and have a godly set of parents, that a godly set of examples to follow, the priorities, the values of what's really important. Proverbs 22:6, I've always loved this verse. I've gotten a lot of inspiration from it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Doesn't say that they won't depart. The prodigal son that Jesus talked about, he departed. But I love how it says, when he came to his senses, he knew where to return back to. And that is probably one of the greatest things we can give it as an inheritance, the roadmap back. If our children stray, that they have the roadmap to come back to. And for us to be stable, to give them something to come back to. Not only as a family, but as a Christian. In Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." One thing I can say I never had to be embarrassed of being Charlie Eubanks' son. Make sure that we as parents don't give a black mark to that name. Because that's the first thing we give our kids. The very first thing we give to our relatives is our name. And the righteous man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. They are blessed because of that. Proverbs 22, verse 1, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches." I'm so glad of that one, because I can't pass on much in riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. We're going to get to some of these verses. On Wednesday nights, we're studying different lessons from the book of Proverbs, and we're not here yet, but this is definitely some of the ones that we will be looking at. And in the New Testament, in Ephesians 4, Paul pulls no punches here. He says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." That's our duty. Not to be at every, although it's good, you know, But what do we want to be remembered for? To be in it at every softball game? To always doing this for the kids, or we've given them this amount of money or a brand new car, or bringing them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Parents not only teach their children how to live, and this sounds crazy, and I don't want to get morbid, but they also teach the children how to die. And there's something to that. There's something to teaching and giving the example of how to die. The first lesson I always think of is David. On his deathbed, he is wanting to pass on information. And in 1 Kings, we see this. He is literally on his deathbed, and David says, I go the way of all the earth. It's nothing special. It's, you know, this is not unique to me. It's not a, oh, why me? I go by the way of all the earth. It's natural. And he tells his son, be strong. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you turn. That's one of the parting thoughts that King David has, is to pass this on to his children. Paul, with his beloved Timothy, in 2 Timothy 4, this is toward the one of the last things Paul will ever write. He says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul is passing that on. Timothy, don't be sad. I have fought the good fight. I'm going to my reward. Of course you're going to miss me. I'm going to miss you, but I'm going to something better. And you can too, because I taught you the way. You know the way. I've given you the roadmap. You follow it up too. In 2 Peter, the Apostle Peter says something very similar. And he says, for this reason, and this was written shortly before he would be crucified. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. He wanted to make sure you have this information. I'm getting ready to die. I'm going to put off this earthly tent. This tent that God has allowed me to use these probably 60, 70 years. I'm getting ready to put that off. But I'm making sure you know the things that I want you to know. He's passing it on to people like Mark and to those that he's served and to those that he has served as an elder under or with in his congregation. And Paul in Philippians, I find this interesting. You know, he wrote this in captivity to people that he absolutely adored and that absolutely adored him. And he says in Philippians 1, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for all your progress and joy of faith." Paul gets it. Paul understands there's nothing better than I would like to do than to go to my reward. But if I stay, it will be helpful for you, whichever I will do my best in. I will do my best, and I will pass that on. And as we close, I want us to ask ourselves again, what kind of an inheritance will we leave to others? Our own biological children, or our kind of adopted people that we have taken under our wing, that we've mentored, that we try to have an influence on? What kind of an inheritance will they have? What kind of legacy will we leave? And these are just a few scriptures. I wish you had an outline, big loser. I wish you had the outline to go over I can't leave you an outline, but I hope you wrote the scripture down and maybe look over it this week in your own study. If you need to respond to the invitation, if there is sin in your life keeping you from fully serving God, don't let another minute pass. Repent from those sins. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, unless we repent, we will likewise perish. We need to repent of our sins. If you haven't put your Lord on in baptism, I would urge you, again, don't let another minute pass. If you're not baptized, you're not saved. You're not part of the body. Be baptized. Put your Lord on in baptism, just as Jesus died and was buried and rose up to life again. We can follow that pattern through baptism. If you need prayers of the congregation, we've already gone to God on behalf of some of our members. If you need prayers, we would be glad to pray with and for you. Whatever your need. If you're looking for a church home, If you've been looking at a few congregations, if you live here in town, we urge you to come back. You know where we're at now. You found it. We'll give you some breadcrumbs or something. You can come back. But we urge you, whatever your need, if you'll come forward as Daryl leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.